Well, the daytime break is where you're at right here on Impact 103. And it's time for us to get into our Stoop session. My guest in studio, Elise Marie Muller. Super excited to have her with me. Thank you and welcome
good
once
afternoon.
Again.
Good afternoon. Yay. Round three. Here we go.
Always ready. So I think before we talk about the conversation today, let's just paint a bit of a picture or put our listeners in context in case, you know, they're just joining us for the first time. Mm. What have we been talking about?
We looked at two events in Peter's life. The first one was early on in the ministry where Jesus spoke identity and commission over Peter. And then just after that, Jesus started saying he's going to die. And Peter reacted like, no, that doesn't line up with my expectations. And Peter chose out of fear, because things weren't lining up for him, to rebuke Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we looked at how Jesus then helped Peter understand the reason why he's chosen this wrong action is because he's afraid and he's been setting his mind on the wrong things.
Yeah.
The second story we looked at is where Jesus was close to being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. Again, circumstances for Peter was not lining up with his expectations. His expectations was Jesus was going to be king. Now they are trying to arrest him. So out of enthusiasm, good intentions, he unfortunately acts out of the flesh. He grabs his sword, chops off the ear of a soldier or a servant, and Jesus again has to correct him and say, Peter, your way is not necessarily the right way. Mm. God is working in this moment. And so beautifully, he also heals the ear of the servant, which shows us that sometimes when we overreact with our actions or our words, God's heart is also for those that we may have hurt with our actions or our words. And in every time, Jesus offers a growth opportunity in each of those two situations. And for today's story, the last story we're just going to look at in this series is probably the one that we know the best. One of the, the most well-known failure of Peter. and it is where Jesus has now been arrested and he's been interrogated by the Jewish leaders. And we also know that Jesus warned Peter that this is going to happen. But as we know, all the disciples run away. All of them run away. Mm. And Peter is this the one who doesn't run away, but he just, you know, he hides. And we know the story, and this is told in, you know, all four Gospels, where on three different occasions, he's confronted by people to say that isn't he associated with Jesus Christ? And this is where I think in the previous two stories, we saw Peter reacting in the fight impulse, you know, like if I'm afraid, you know, I will attack. Yeah. Interesting here, I think once again, Peter is afraid, right? But in this time, he doesn't respond with the attack. Mm. He actually goes into the flight. He wants to run away. He wants to hide because he's afraid. The whole purpose of the series is to look at how do we respond when we are afraid.
Yeah.
And as we know, what happens at three different times, he denies being associated with Jesus. He denies knowing him. Mm. I mean, even the last time he was so forceful, he curses and says, I do not know this man. I don't know what you're talking about. And what is harsh to hear, Sinclair, is that word deny can also be translated as strongly reject. Strongly reject. Mm. And what we need to understand is that it sounds like, Peter, how could you do that, man? But when we are very afraid, when circumstances around us is so hard, maybe the marriage, maybe the finances, maybe your workspace, maybe friendships that you are in, when you have allowed fear to grip your heart so badly, sometimes you just want to run away. Mm. You just want to hide. You know the truth in your head. You know all the right things, but your flesh just says, just stay away. You're embarrassed. You're scared. And this is what is happening. But what we do not understand is that by doing that, we are actually rejecting Jesus. We are saying, before I would have said, I trust Jesus, you know. But now I don't have the guts to say, I trust Jesus.
Sure.
I see Peter here. Actually, I have profound empathy for him because I have experienced times in my life where I'm so afraid that I just want to hide. And maybe we can relate. You know, we are sitting in circles where people talk in certain ways, but we don't have the courage to say, "Hey, guys, I'm not sure that's constructive ways of talking about an individual." You know,
"Sure,
guys, we're talking very negatively. Let's speak life and hope." No. We're afraid.
Ish.
Because we actually don't want to see what happens when we speak up.
Mm.
We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid, in this case, Peter was afraid of being punished physically in the same way that Jesus was being interrogated and punished.
Mm.
So can we have empathy for this man? He's in flight mode. He just wants to hide. He does it very verbally, but it's fear making him want to run away.
And it happens to the best of us, right? But thank God there's hope. We're going to find out, how Jesus then responds and what the growth moment for Peter, which should be a growth moment for us as well, whenever we find ourselves tempted to flight when fear cripples our hearts.
This is not the way the story ends.
You're loving the music, but also loving the conversation we're having. The final one, where we've been learning a lot of profound lessons out of the events that happened in Peter's life, where he responded from a place of fear, where he either found himself fighting verbally or physically because he was Peter, or just like we're talking today, just flighting, trying to then hide and run away from the circumstance. And Elise Marie, that happens to us a lot, where you're confronted with something and you literally don't want to face it.
Absolutely.
Or you want to then deny or just not involve yourself, or try to build a wall to protect your heart or your emotions, or not to make it worse, or you're scared of the outcome and so you'd rather not do anything.
Do anything, exactly.
So how does Jesus respond then to Peter?
Well, this part really makes me very emotional, Zinhle, because although Jesus doesn't speak to Peter, the only gospel that records Jesus' response is in Luke 22, verse 31. And it is this moment where, for the third time, Peter has denied, or as I said earlier, rejected Jesus, and the crow sings, and immediately he remembers. Scripture says he remembers the words of Jesus, who said, "When the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times." And I think in that moment, there's such a heaviness, there's such a disappointment in Peter's heart. Mm. You know, he was so focusing on not being found out, not being identified, being afraid. And then suddenly he realized, but oh, Jesus warned me that this was going to happen. And Luke 22 says this incredible thing. It says Jesus at that point in time was standing some distance away from Peter, so he most probably couldn't speak to him. But Jesus turns around and looks at Peter.
Mm.
And although scripture doesn't say to us exactly what that look entails, I'm absolutely confident, because I know the nature of Jesus, is it was a look of grace and a look of love. It was not a look of judgment. Mm. It was not a look of, "I told you so."
Mm.
"How could you, Peter?"
Mm.
Yet, in that moment, scripture says Peter profoundly wept, and he was incredibly disappointed in himself and emotional, because he realized how profoundly he has failed. Mm. I mean, he was warned by Jesus, this is going to come. And unfortunately, probably with a little bit of pride and arrogance, he says, "Never. I will never deny you.
Yeah.
You know, I will go to my death for you, Jesus."
Mm.
But when fear got hold of him, he failed. And although Jesus doesn't teach him a lesson in this moment, I think that look of love and grace was the lesson. Like, "My child, when you fail, I will still love you, and I will still have grace for your failures." And we need to be able to look at Jesus, look him in the eye when we have failed spectacularly, and see the look of love, see the look of grace, not the look of judgment, of condemnation, but the look of invitation. And the growth moment here for Peter is that when Jesus dies and he's resurrected, we see that scripture, three different passages, refers to that Jesus most probably met Peter alone. And I think that is incredibly significant, because I think Jesus knew that there was a rooster crowing in Peter's head every day since that moment. Sure. You failed him. You rejected him. Mm. How could you? He warned you. And what is so amazing, even in Luke 22, Jesus says that, this is before the event, he says, Peter, there's going to be a temptation for you, but I have prayed for you.
That you don't fail.
And then Jesus says this amazing thing before this event. He says to him, and when you return, Peter, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus prophesies before his failure, Peter, I know you're going to fail, but I know you will return. Mm-hmm. So after Jesus' resurrection, it seems that Jesus at some point meets Peter alone. And we don't know what was said. What I can see from that response is at a later point in John 18, the disciples are fishing and they don't catch anything. And then they see Jesus on the shore. Mm. And Peter's response to me shows that there has been restitution, reconciliation made.
Yeah.
Because Peter doesn't shy away like he shied away before. He doesn't go like, oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed. There's Jesus for the first time. What is he going to say? No. He jumps out of the boat.
Wow.
And he rushes towards Jesus, which to me, and this is only my interpretation, shows that there was a personal meeting between Peter and Jesus, where Jesus restored him privately. Zintle, privately, he gave him the opportunity to say, I've forgiven you.
Yeah.
I love you, my son. I'm going to give you the grace to do what I want you to do. You're going to be okay. And in this incident in John 18, where he rushes to Jesus, we know the story where Jesus makes them breakfast on the beach. And then he gives Peter a public restoration moment where he gives him three times the opportunity to declare his love. And I think this is more about publicly before the other apostles or disciples say, give him the opportunity to show, I got it wrong, but now I love you, Jesus.
Aww.
So he gets restored privately. Mm. He gets restored publicly, and then also three times Jesus commissions him again. So this is the growth moment for Peter, where he ran away because of fear. He's now once again in love, being restored privately, publicly, and commissioned again publicly by Jesus.
I absolutely love it. Man, Elise Marie, thank you so much. It's been an incredible 3 weeks of this series on Peter. And I think personally, I've learned a lot of lessons. I'm sure some of the listeners as well have learned a lot of personal lessons from these encounters. Hoping we see you again. I think I must ask the listeners to pray with me that you come back very soon again onto
thank you.
The show. Until
thank
the next
you for
time.
Having me.
Thank you. Something.